So, hello everybody, and welcome to August's edition of the Northern Premier League show, otherwise known as the NPL show. Welcome back to the Heat and Hops here in South Manchester, otherwise known as North Stockport. And round the table, we've got the great and good of non-league football. We've got James Hayes here, social media man for the league.
Good evening.
Mr. Ian Burks here from 26-0.
How you been?
And non-league reporter from wherever he likes.
I'm from 26-0 as well.
Oh, you were there last night, weren't you? Yeah. Simo's here, everyone. Right.
Hello.
So,
very insightful and witty, I found.
Well, that's what they asked for. Yeah.
not me, though.
6 games in. 5 if you're South Shields and Mickleover and everyone else.
Or 3.
What? Birke, what on earth have we learned in the opening gambit of this season? Because it feels like not much.
You don't listen to us.
Yeah, definitely don't listen to us. Well, we could have told you that before the opening show, couldn't we? What we've learnt is, though, we did say on the show last month that Matlock would be tough and really difficult to beat, and they've been there grinding out the results, haven't they? They won the first 4 games by the odd goal. They've drawn the last 2, but they came back last night from 2-0 down with only a few minutes to go. What a comeback that was, and it shows the mettle that Matlock got. And I hate to say it, because I make a point of disagreeing with him, but I think Swampy might be right. Matlock... they're in with a real shout.
And you said you weren't going to change your opinion on anything.
Ever.
Got that steal already that Steve Kittrick praised highly after the game to kind of show that character to come back when they'd not really played that well. I think they'd knocked on the door all the way through the second half from what I've read. But they will take probably more or as much from a draw, which on paper doesn't look as good as a draw, as some of the earlier ones. It tells us a lot about them early on, doesn't it?
Yeah, and one of the other things that really stands out from the early knock-ins is that of the 8 goals that they've scored, 5 of them have been in the last 10 minutes of the game. Mm. So they keep going right till the end. You know, most of the wins there, they've come the very last minute. They scored an own goal to win. Well, the other team scored an own goal to let Matlock win the other week, you know. So they'll keep going, they'll keep battering away. And Steve Kittrick, God, set me off to him. I've not got my Scarborough hat on. I'm going to need a Matlock hat.
Do you think he's kind of driven with a point to prove, or he doesn't see it like that?
I think he might have a little bit there. I mean, obviously, you look at the same results as he has now. It's similar to what Scarborough were doing last year.
Yeah.
And again, obviously, we'll talk about Scarborough later on, but it's completely... they look very similar to what they were doing there, player-wise, formation-wise, scoring-wise even.
Well, they don't have any stars, though, do they?
Well, Luke Hinsley's coming up at the moment. He's up there as top goal scorers at this moment in time. So,
also, having a great start to the season, Whitby Town.
I can still hear Andrew Snaith from last night.
2-0 win over Scarborough Athletic last night in the El Costico, is that what they call it?
I think so.
Yeah. Apologies if I got that wrong. Let us know. It could be the El Codico. I don't know.
No. It's El Costico.
Costico. Right, okay.
What a week they've had, because that came off the back of giving Grantham a right royal towelling at the weekend.
Where do you think we are with Chris Hardy's side? Because, you know, when we spoke to him last week, he had a bit of an air about him, I thought. That was a bit like, you know, a bit assured. I mean, he's always been assured anyway when we spoke to him. But
it's a team that's coming to maturity, isn't it? You know, they've had a fair few young players down the seasons who, you know, have gone on to bigger and arguably better things. I don't know. But they've kept a lot of the best players from last season. They've added... Yeah. Astutely, but better than I thought, actually, better than I realised, because we're down here in Manchester, we don't really know the scene so well up in Yorkshire and around Teesside, but it looks like he's done a great job. And from it being second place, you look at all the divisions in football, the only real surprise to me in all the 6 divisions above this one is that Kings Lynn are top of the National League North. But Whitby being up there, that's...
Do you reckon that makes Warrington feel a bit more happy? Or not? How would you think about that?
I think Warrington knew
they weren't bothered. Well, they are bothered. But
no, I think they appreciate it.
They're not scared.
I don't think Warrington's complaint was that they lost to a team that weren't very good. I think they know that Kingston are very, very capable.
And they go for it. I mean, they've scored 4 in each of the last 2 away games.
Sorry, are you talking about Kingsland now?
Well, sorry, Whitby.
Whitby. Right, good. Thank you for bringing it back.
Meanwhile, back on the NPL show.
Yeah. Main thing, I was speaking with Paul Connolly last night after the game as well. Just
right, name dropper.
Well, he was the one celebrating on the Yorkshire Coast that they were top of the league went off air, and then obviously Matlock equalised. But apparently they've only got 12 fit players at this moment in time too. If they can compete in the teams like that, again, another team that will be up there at the end of the season.
Brad Fuster as well scored 5 goals.
Great goal, yeah, get top.
Are you saying Whitby are going to be up there come the end of the season?
If they continue the way they're doing and they can get the wins against the likes, continue the wins against Gainsborough and get the points against South Shields, Warrington, maybe.
Simon's just put his hand up it to might say, depend. I want to speak.
No, it might depend on whether they can keep hold of Fuster, because Tom Feeney was raving about him on the podcast last week.
Well, that's the top two. In third place, Warrington.
Perennial.
Perennial, you know, here we are up towards the top end. Paul Cowden's going to be happy with that start, isn't he, really?
He's going to be happy with that win last night. Yes. A bit of a statement win for them. And it's starting to feel like Warrington are clicking into gear, isn't it? That very much suggests that. And from what I can gather, with a much depleted team last night as well, and they've still gone and beaten Antwich pretty comfortably, which I think does send out a message. They had a good point at Gainsborough as well, didn't they, Warrington? So they've won 3 games since then. It certainly feels quite ominous that they are clicking into gear, as I said.
It was a bit of a clunky start for them, weren't it? Losing 3-1 at home against Morpeth. Sean Reid scoring a goal as well, for irony bell alerts and all that. But it was...
very much.
Thank you. But here's the thing that's impressed me about Warrington. They've had 8 different goal scorers already this season. Matty Chadwick's, I think he's the only one who's scored more than once. He's got 3 goals so far.
Yeah, he scored again last night.
And he's going to be key for him this season, he really is. But 8 goal scorers... They're really spreading it around, and it's showing that they're not reliant on or over-reliant on one player. You know, they can afford to, you know, lose a striker to injury for a couple of games or whatever. They'll be absolutely fine.
Do you think it's like a conscious tilt to become a little bit... Obviously, they, along with Witten, have the most clean sheets in the league last year. They were virtually impossible to score against. The firepower options that Paul Cardin's amassed, Matty Chadwick being one of them. I think we might see them... ship a few more, but they'll score a few more this year.
Maybe, because as far as I can see, they're playing total non-league football.
It's up there with John Walsh's sticky tacky, isn't it?
Sticky tacky.
Warrington are in third. In fourth, what? It's Hyde United. What's going on there, Birker?
What happened last night, though?
Well, what happened last night was almost to be expected, actually. Tigo, the way that Hyde play, it's they're not one-trick ponies by any stretch, but they play on the break. They like to play on the break because, A, they've got a pretty decent defence, and B, obviously I've not seen all the teams in the division yet, but I'd be surprised if there's any faster team than Hyde up the top end at the moment. But the thing is, styles make fights and styles make football matches, and Witten Albion are the perfect foil to how Hyde United played. They're more than happy to sit back and let Hyde do all the running, and Tigers didn't really know what to do about it in the first half. Second half, they got more into the stride, but it never really felt that Witten were under too much pressure, and I thought they did an absolutely consummate job on Hyde.
Now, what's changed, Birke? Because, you know, I remember a little insight into the lives of non-league broadcasters, everybody. Me and Birke went to a football match together a couple of weeks ago. Swampy was the driver. And, you know, there was a bit of... not concern isn't the right word, but a bit of pessimism. You know, we're a young side, it might not click, it's going to take time, this. And then you have three chances on goal, you beat FC United, I don't know how, but you did.
It was miraculous.
And from that, you go on this, there's a bit of a spring in your step.
Yeah, won 4 games on the spin, including winning.
What I'm trying to say is, you're welcome. Carry on.
Thank you. Yeah, including a rare win, at South Shields as well. South Shields fans, they'd say, well, actually, we had 6 players out. Well, Hyde fans could counter that by saying we had 4 players out, so it didn't really make too much of a difference, I don't think. In the end, Hyde are happy to soak things up. They can sit there all day and let teams attack them. It doesn't bother them in the slightest, because they know if they get the ball forward, they've got Tom Pratt there, they've got Paddy Lane, they've got Jack Dyche, they've got Liam Tong, they've got Dan Turner, Dan O'Brien. And we spoke on the show last month about certain teams really focusing on getting a marquee centre-forward and really splashing the cash on those. Hyde have gone the other way, really. Rather than going for a centre-forward who you can pretty much put your hat on scoring 20 or 25 goals, they've gone for some attacking midfielders who, by the looks of things, how things are going so far, are pretty much guaranteed to get you 10 to 15 goals each. Which I'd much rather have that any day of the week. and then you've got your centre forward chucked into that too. So it's a team where the main attacking threat's coming from midfield, really. The attackers there to link everything up, and it's working great. If you'd have offered the Hyde management team or the fans at this stage, after six games, 12 points, we would have ripped your arm from its socket.
Let's talk about another team who doesn't concede that many goals, South Shields. It's quite very unlike South Shields, this, I think, unless I'm misreading it. South Shields played five, won three, drawn one, lost one, scored eight and conceded just two.
It's sort of similar to what they did last season, though. They started terrible away from home, didn't they? Although this season they've kind of spread the love around a little bit.
Being this tight, though.
No, that's true. They were a little bit more gung-ho last season, but as we mentioned earlier, they've had injury problems and they're kind of trying to fit people maybe where they don't necessarily fit into the formation. And one thing is, though, they showed what they could do against Bamber Bridge the other day. An absolutely devastating 10-minute spell where they scored four goals and then they went, all right, we're kind of done now, aren't we? And left it at that. But that's it. That's what they can do when, if you give them the chance and if everything clicks for them.
Also, they've got a game in hand on everybody above them, so they probably would be even higher in the table, I think, if they got those points on the board as well.
Ominous, though, for everyone else, that Warrington and South Shields are where you'd expect them to be. And
I think also, and we'll come on to some of these other teams shortly, they'll probably want to make hay whilst a couple of teams that we thought would be big rivals for them are really struggling and spluttering. So if they can make a little bit of a getaway, most of the other teams will regress to the mean, you would have thought. You might be proved wrong by one or two.
I mean, fairness, both will take that 10-point head start anyway, so...
What about Basford United? They're,
what about them, Ben?
Well, they're there, aren't they? They've
had a little bit of everything from them, though, haven't they? I thought they'd be more consistent.
And 0-0 against Stafford Rangers on Tuesday night.
Poor result.
A great result for Stafford, who really needed something to kind of start building on. But Basford, considering how settled the squad was, I know they changed the manager, but they pretty much retained the entire squad from last season and added one or two pieces of quality. It's not like some of the other teams that we'll talk about tonight that have had an influx of new players and are going to, you know, understandably have been inconsistent. That's why I'm a little bit surprised at some of Basford's results so far. They're six. I'm sure they're not necessarily disappointed, but there will be a little bit of concern that they've been unpredictable.
It's hashtag early days.
They've got to pull the socks up, though.
I think so, yeah.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
It's only early days.
I know, but it's been erratic.
Yeah.
What about Lancaster City? I can take this one if you like. They've scored 10. They've conceded 10.
In the first five,
and the game last night was very, very, if I can use that term.
What's
Yeah, very. What's the word? Gritty.
Oh yeah.
And there wasn't much to separate. I think there was about two shots each in the whole game.
They used all their goals up at Gainsborough.
Yeah, I was quite surprised because obviously you go into that game looking at the stats, you think to yourself, this lot are either going to concede a lot of goals in this game or they're going to score a lot of goals, especially given the home form. So, yeah, it was an interesting one. But Lancaster City up to seventh on 10 points.
They've started... They're pleased, won't they?
Absolutely, they will. And it continues the form from the end of last season, too.
And that's exactly what I said to Mark last night, and he agreed. Yeah. So he says we're doing all right. And they are.
Very sturdy team we've got compared to last year as well. So a bit more experience than Sam Bailey, Matt Blinkhorn, obviously, end of the season there.
Well, they've got the Workington trio that they've...
Now Calpethwaite, again, he's had a good start to the season as well. Sam Ashton, a bit more behind in the net.
What about... Oh, I'll come to you for this, Berkey.
Oh, thanks.
Michelover Sports.
Well, I love doing team talks.
Experience matters, doesn't it? Experience tells, doesn't it?
Well, it can do, yeah, and it has been doing for them. They've just been absolutely rock solid. The grindy 1-0 specialists. They'll win more than they lose at home. I think they'll probably win seven of them 1-0.
Beating Buxton 4-2. Is not your archetypal.
No,
they're going to be beating teams 1-0, especially the Buxton. Beating Buxton, that's epic.
How much of that is how bad Buxton are, and how much of that is how good Micklover are, though?
Yeah, Buxton are in a bit of a wobble at the minute.
Micklover have had quite a lot of penalties as well to start the season. I think they've scored three or four from the spot so far.
Yeah, but the thing is, you've got to get in the box to make penalties. You know, but this is the thing. It's Yeah, well, you saw him, didn't you?
I was going to say, I have seen him, and they are in a lot of ways what you've described. They were really, really well organised, well drilled, disciplined. But what I did say to you last night is they're a slightly inferior version of Witton. Witton have got a little bit more individual quality, but you can see how teams are going to find it and have so far found it really difficult to not Mickle over. And I think if they can kind of stay doing that, their survival chances are higher than maybe we predicted last month. It's whether they can score enough goals is going to be the question. I obviously got four last night, so maybe they'll answer that, but that would be still my concern after seeing them. They created very, very little at Wincham Park, but I mean, look, three wins on the board in first 3 weeks of the season. I think that'll be made up.
We spoke about Matlock, and you know your expectations of them might have aligned with Swampies. Mickleover, do you think they're going to be?
I still think if they finish fourth bottom, that's a result.
What about Nantwich Town?
What about?
We're going to draw a line under the top 10, by the way. So get your notes ready. I know. I'm saying to Simo, get your notes ready. Because
the Everton Coles game really knocks him.
It seems to, doesn't it? Yeah, it came a little bit from nowhere, that result, because they absolutely wiped the floor with Witten on Bank Holiday Monday. Really, really impressive performance from Dabbers. And Witten were poor that day, but came away really impressed. Really like what Dave Cook's done with the team. He's had to overhaul the squad because he's lost a number of players, as he did the season before. We seem to have this real good knack in the transfer market of bringing in quality and also people that make his team better. It's a very different Nantwich this year. I was really surprised. He's gone with three at the back, two guys flying down the wing. He's got moved Casper Hughes out there on the right. He's got Matty Devine from Witten on the left. But it's become such a good attacking weapon, and they're getting balls into the box for Joe Malkin, who's doing the business. And
Masao is playing well too.
He is playing really well. And then Sean Cook does what Sean Cook does. He's got this free roll. So then come away from that game and then see that they've lost the next two and conceded six goals along the way. I'm not really sure where that's come from, because it wasn't the Nantwich that I saw. So a little test for them to see if to see how they. I'm not worried about them, but it's interesting that they've kind of.
Let's have a bit of context. Yeah. The team you played last night was Warrington.
Warrington, yeah.
It will be up there at the end of the season. And for Warrington to go there and come away with a 3-1 win, I don't think it's that shocking, to be honest.
Let's talk about the final team before we go to the break. In the top 10, Witten Albion. How did that happen? Look at that. Played 5, scored 4, conceded 4.
Well, I worked it out because I thought it might be relevant after last night. No one's kept more clean sheets than they have.
Well, that's a surprise.
And that is, what it's going to be built on again this season. I mean, I spoke to Cal McCauley after the game last night. I mean, they're absolutely ecstatic to be 10th after the first few weeks of the season. They've got one game in hand. They were due to play Radcliffe at home, but Radcliffe played in the FA Cup. So the fact that they're 10th and they've already got out of the way away trips to Whitby and Scarborough and picked up points there. And by the way, the draw on the opening day of the season at Whitby looks a better result with each week that passes. And then they've won their two home games. I mean, they'll be absolutely made up, and they are made up.
They're like a unit of Roman centurions. They put the shields up, they pack together and they say, right, try and get past us.
And lots of teams won't.
Absolutely not.
Very disciplined as well. Obviously, let's take the Nantwich game out of the question, obviously.
Yeah, they lost their heads a bit there.
Yeah, but they looking from the highlights I've seen, they look disciplined, playing good football. Is that what Carl's looking at this year more?
I think their objective, they're not quite sure where to put their objectives because of the injury to Rob Hopley, because it's going to seriously hamper their ability to score goals. And even though they played really well last night, you could kind of see, moving forward, that is still going to be an issue for them. We've got one or two other lads to come back from injury, but it's hard to say yet just about where we can place them. I mean, I said to them jokingly last night, I've offered you 10th now, and they kind of like, yeah, we'd absolutely take that. So that gives you an indication that of where they think they might be. But no, they're really, really pleased.
And that concludes the top 10. And just to let you know, there's going to be part 2 where we're going to focus on the bottom half of the table. And in part 3, later in the show, we're going to have a big FA Cup loving.
Yes.
Welcome back to the Heat and Hop here in Stockport, the home of great beer and the MPL show. For the month of August 2019. Is that the year?
Just about.
Been here forever, haven't we? Around the table, basking in the glory of part 2 here of the MPL show. Got Mr. Ian Burke with us.
Hey, Ben.
Simo's with us.
Hello.
T-Got is with us.
Evening.
So let's talk about the bottom half of the MPL Premier Division table. Very early days. I don't know if I've mentioned that already.
You put it in
early. I did, yeah. Very early days. But Grantham Town have had a decent start. You know, I've done the same number of points as Wayne Albion. It seems unfair to split them up the way we have done on this week's show. But it's been a good start.
I'll be really pleased. I'm a little bit irked as well that they didn't become the first team to beat Matlock last night. So they could have been in an even better position. Mm. And to be fair to them, though, I think they were really pleased how they'd responded to losing heavily at home to an admittedly in-form Whitby on Saturday. You know, 4-0 at home is never going to go down well. But it sounds like the management team at Grantham got exactly the reaction that they wanted last night. And like a few of the teams you've mentioned already, they'll be really pleased, I think, with where they find themselves.
Yeah, and they can eke out these wins, can't they? Beat Bayside by a goal to nil. As was mentioned earlier, Chibchalak is there now. And I think he's a masterstroke of a signing because he's the kind of player who suits the style of play that Grantham are used to. And so, yeah, absolutely great signing for him. And, I don't like to change my mind, Ben.
You're going to do it again?
But I'm going to say Grantham are going to be okay.
Can we let the listener into a little secret? Right. Yeah. Last month, Berkey made a prediction about relegation. And he named two clubs.
Three?
Yeah, I know. What I'm saying is, two of them, it was just, you know, wallpaper, wasn't it? It was just a way of setting up a joke. The wider joke being Radcliffe. And it was just for James's benefit. That's all it was. It was no malice. It was no malice on the two other clubs, or Radcliffe for that matter. Yeah. It was just Berkey attacking James. That's all it was.
All right, in a friendly, jamie kind of way. Exactly. He does it to me all the time.
Stalybridge.
Well, where did that 5-1 come from? That's the big one.
That was the result of the month.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I think it was.
Absolutely fantastic result against Scarborough. It just came completely out of left field. But they're going to miss Craig Hobson. He's going to miss three games from this week. He got sent off last week against Buxton in the goalless draw there.
Yeah.
And he's been scoring goals from, mentioned on the show last month actually, saying that he'd been doing really well pre-season, and he's carried that impetus on into the first few games of the season, and fair play to him. And he beat Ashton United away as well, 2-0 in the derby there, really, really good. But they huffed and puffed against West Didsbury and Charlton in the FA Cup, so there's two sides to Stalybridge, and that's why I don't think they're going to kick on necessarily, but I do think they're going to have a better season than they have the last 2 years.
What about Morpeth?
I think they've signed to find they've started well, but they're now starting to see.
Start to lose defeat.
Maybe so, but obviously starting to find out what this league is really about. At the same time, obviously, Whitby Town beat them on the bank holiday games.
But they had no shame in that the way they're playing.
Yeah, no, I went to FC United playing, I think it was the first time they have played in a. Other than Wembley Stadium, of course. A state.
Thank you for putting Broadhurst Park in the same bracket as Wembley, James. That was nice, that. Yeah.
No, that's the first time we've played in that sort of situation as well for quite some time. You've got Mars coming up in the league, in the Integral Cup as well. That's going to be a big shout for
Never mind that. They've got Hyde on Saturday in the FA Cup. And I've got a feeling, I think, from what I hear, I've never seen Morpeth, but from what I hear, they're a good attacking side. Yeah. They like to play on the front foot.
A good natural northeast side, we could
say. Exactly. And I get the feeling that their style of play, it'll suit how Hyde play. It wouldn't surprise me at all if I'd nick that or at least come back for a replay. It's going to be a really good match, that.
I thought Nick Gray did a really good interview with you, by the way. And he knows that, and they're finding out pretty quickly looking at their results and performances, this league is so unforgiving.
Yeah.
And they're on a huge learning curve in exactly the way that Bayside were last season. And whilst the two clubs are different, of course, when you've never played at this level before, no, no matter how well you've done, to come through the leagues, this division, when you hit step three, is absolutely brutal. And Morpeth are going to find that. They probably will be a little bit up and down for a while yet.
What did you make of them, Ben?
They caught FC United on a good day, I think.
Really?
Yeah. We were very...
That's really unlucky.
First home win in about a year.
Very good. Let's talk about Bamba Bridge. Bamba Bridge 3, Atherton Coles 0, the result on Tuesday night, and the second win of the season.
They're a team of...
It's exactly the same as last season. Good at home, dreadful away. They're another club that is carried on, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Lost all three away matches. But then you look at who they've played.
Yeah.
They've been away at South Shields, Warrington and Matlock.
Fair enough.
It doesn't really get too much more difficult, really, does it? So you can give them a bye on that one, really. Did I mention I'd have got a bye in the Integra?
No, you didn't.
We have.
No, good.
Well done for that one.
But I actually think if you'd have offered that start, if you said 6 points from five games, would you take it? They go, actually, yeah, that's not too bad. Two home wins, two pretty decent.
One of them against
home
Ashton.
Wins. Yeah. Ashton United and Atherton Calls they beat 3-0 last night. What an absolutely fantastic result that is. So it suggests that again, Simo, as you alluded to, the home form is going to be absolutely
so
crucial.
Important, yeah.
And if they can pick up the results away, then all the better for them.
Scarborough.
Bamber Bridge.
Yes.
Completely forgot to mention, got two massive games coming up this month. First of all, after the FA Cup game, Buxton away. That, I think we'll really see where they are there. Buxton team in a little bit of doldrums.
I was about to enter the big clubs that are down at the bottom end, because there's a few, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I was going to say FC United, they're playing them at the end of the month. It'd be interesting. And they're at...
For a number of reasons, yeah.
Oh, should we leave it that one for the FC?
Let's talk about these big clubs who find themselves down towards the bottom end of the table.
Scarborough have had a pretty unfathomable start, haven't they? Not won at home yet, which is normally a fortune, but then they'll say, well, we're not lost at home, either, because they've drawn every game
And
then
Coulson are off form at the moment as well. They've not...
Yeah.
Well, three goals.
Well, considering in the last three seasons between them, they've scored 150 goals. They've not scored any between them in the opening six games.
No one would have predicted.
No,
Walshaw's
been golden boot.
I mean, do we have to be a bit more fair and say, you know, this is, and I've not used this term on this week's show so far, a transitional year.
Possibly.
Thank you.
Possibly. I mean, I think the 5-1 defeat at Staley Bridge, I think that was an aberration. You look at the other results.
Yeah, a bit of an outlier.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been pretty tight at the back. They've been pretty tight up front, unfortunately for them as well. But it just doesn't take a genius to see where it's going wrong, and it is, for some reason, things aren't clicking up front. But then you look at that, you know that the front two are okay, front three if you include Wayne Brooksby as well. So you go, well, what else could be the problem? Well, it must be the midfield, and that's where it's not quite gelled for them yet.
No, I take your point, and maybe the sample size isn't big enough yet, but if you'd said before the start of the season they'd only been one of the first six games, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have been very happy about that.
No. Got a tough month coming up as well. They've got to go to Nantwich, they're playing Matlock, they've got Warrington as well at home, and toughest of the lot, they've got to go away to Radcliffe.
What about FC United then? I mean,
they've had a better week, haven't they?
It's been alright, I've enjoyed myself.
You're three unbeaten.
Yeah.
You got Tundy in. Tundy all the way.
Just imagine I'm not here, lads, and these buttons are just turning themselves up and down like by magic.
Well, I'd say the person who can tell us the most about Tundy Oluwabi is Teagot.
Yeah, he's someone that we're going to miss this season. But again, he's a player you're not going to get 90 minutes a week out of Tundy. He's a fantastic player. He can get forward, and he's one of them strong forwards that you want on there. You're not going to push him off the ball. But he can't play. I've never seen him play a full 90 minutes at Radcliffe either. So he's a great impact player. You bring him on in the 60th minute, 75th minute, he will get you a goal.
When we were talking about the big clubs, we did kind of give FC a bit of a pass in the season preview, didn't we? Because there's been so many changes. And also, let's have it right, they won't have been spending the same amount of money as some of the other teams they're going to talk about tonight. So they've had the inconsistent start that probably shouldn't surprise us.
Same time though, FC have had quite a lot of injuries as well, haven't they, recently?
Well,
so
this is the other thing, we were missing our front three. So that Hyde game,
deep squad as well.
Yeah, no, but we didn't have a deep squad enough to have a fourth striker, Burke. I mean, it's like we're missing our playmaker and our two main strikers, which is why suddenly when Tundy arrives, we score four against Morpeth, magic.
And then get a 0-0 draw against Lancaster.
Yeah, I think that goes to show the quality that Matt Fell's squad. Yeah. That
I mean,
built
it's like Reynolds playing all this in the local after Radcliffe game.
the thing is, though, Ben, you've got at FC a really, really talented squad, and you're capable of playing some fantastic football. And how you didn't beat Hyde, I don't know, because you were absolutely brilliant.
FC
that
night, it's not still me.
No, but yeah. Of course, how FC United didn't beat Hyde that night, I will never know, because they were absolutely brilliant. But that first win was crucial. It takes the pressure off FC.
Definitely.
And they can go out there next game at Broadhurst Park and play with some freedom at last.
Gainsborough.
Another interesting one.
Well, we warned on the show last month, didn't we, that they'd... It felt like they put too much emphasis on the front line and hadn't really worked enough on the midfield and who was in defence. And I don't necessarily think it's played out like that. On paper, it looks like it has, because they've won one, drawn one, lost three. But you look at who they've played.
Yeah.
They've drawn nil, but and they've done well against the top teams. They've drawn 0-0 against Warrington. They've beaten Whitby by 2-0. And they only lost against Matlock because they scored a last-minute own goal. You know, so they've been in all these games. It's just stringing it all together now and making it consistent. Gainsborough, we know they've got the talent up front. We know they have. It's just whether they can be fed enough so that they can convert these chances.
It's a disappointing start, though.
Yeah, but look who they're playing. It's context, isn't it?
Just to say, Gainsborough fans, it is early days.
I'm doing my best here to...
It's our first show, our first proper show. We've got only six games on the board. In some cases, Morpeth and Stalybridge, we've only got four. And in Radcliffe's case, have you even started? So it is early days, and as Simo says, the sample size, which made you sound awfully like Brian Cox, is still a bit... You know,
Ben,
not quite where it should be. Yes.
May I just say, though, I don't fancy the chances in the middle of the month.
Wow, what games we've got in the middle of the month?
They've got to go to Winsham Park to play against Witten, and then they've got to go to Mariners Park and play against South Shields.
That's
so
tough.
Guess what score the corresponding fixture was at Winsham Park last season?
Was it 0-0?
It was 0-0.
No, that was a great guess, wasn't it?
Atherton Coles, obviously, are now off the mark when it comes to victories.
And what a victory, by the way.
Well, 3-1 against Nantwich. Couple of great goals in the game too, and that picture there's, we touched on it earlier, it's gonna upset some teams, but Coles are used to playing on it and they're a swashbuckling side. They'll go forward constantly, but that can also be their Achilles heel, and I think it'll unravel them slightly at stages this season, because it is a big step up. This, it's almost the worst season for them to get promoted because of the strength of the division this year, but they will take other teams completely and utterly by surprise. Even though they know what's coming, they won't be able to stop them.
Let's talk about the team currently sitting 19th. And this is a bit of a surprise.
This might be one of the stories so far.
Buxton, yeah. What's happened?
They've got good players, but they look so unsure at the back. I saw them on Bank Holiday Monday against Hyde. They took the lead, and they didn't really take the foot off the pedal. Hyde just came back into the game and put pressure on, and the defence cracked, unfortunately for Buxton. You know, and great for Hyde, mind you, but I get the feeling they're missing Tom Dean.
Yeah, we said that though, didn't we?
Yeah, he's a big miss for him. They're just not getting goals at the moment.
They're conceding a fair few. They've got worst defence in the league so far.
Yeah, and that's what I picked out when I was doing my notes this afternoon. The defeats are a bit eye-watering, you know. 2-1, 4-3, 3-1, 4-2. They seem to have that soft underbelly, don't they?
It's individual errors being pounced on every time. I don't think the scorelines necessarily reflect the games.
I think what we should say is, look, we praise them to the hilt for making the playoffs in the way that they did at the end of last season, and that alone means that Philo should have time to sort things out and kind of steer them through this little sticky patch they've got. I mean, they've not played enough games for us to change that view of them. You know, we sat around the table last month and said we think Bucks will do really well, and we probably shouldn't change from that at the moment, but it is a concern. And they do, like you're saying about the boost for FC to get that first win. Buxton do need a couple of wins pretty soon. Suddenly the game in the FA Cup of the weekend, which we'll talk about later, it becomes a really big game now for them. The distraction might be great, but if the result doesn't go their way at the weekend, then that'll be interesting.
And they're missing Billy Priestley for the next three as well. He got sent off against Stalybridge too, so
let's talk about the another surprise element down the bottom end. Ashton United.
I think they'll come good. I mean, they've not won yet this season. They've only drawn two out of five. But they've got such a talented midfield, such a skillful midfield, that they can't fail. I think there's probably a little bit of a hangover there from last season.
It's weird that, because it's not the squad that got relegated.
There's quite a lot of new players.
But I've seen it with Hyde, where you've had a few new players come in, and there's some sort of contagion almost around the club. It's not even necessarily on the pitch, but it can be off the pitch. The people just got into a bit of a negative mindset, and it does sort of seep onto the grass. It's just, and the pressure's on.
Yeah,
the pressure is on, isn't it?
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
But you look at the fixtures coming up, some big games in it. Tadcaster away in the cup, they should win that, you'd have thought. Got Morpeth at home, Whitby at home, Micklover and Hyde away. Winnable games in there, but you've got to win them, not hide them, hopefully.
What about Stafford Rangers? They've not had the best of starts, only two goals scored.
And they were in the first two games, so they've actually not scored in any of the last four.
Is that the problem?
Oh, easily, yeah. You actually,
because the defence isn't too bad compared to,
they considered
the same number of goals as like Nantwich have and Grantham. Yeah. So
the 4-0 result on Saturday, it was never a 4-0. Okay. You know, Hyde had six shots, scored four of them.
You're good at that, aren't you?
Not bad. We didn't have any shots at all against Whitney. No, we had a couple, didn't we? The problem with Stafford, it really is up front. They look so blunt there. You've got
Bailey Jones is out, it looks like, for the season now as well. He went down against Grantham, I think.
It's against Hyde. He did his Achilles by the looks of things, and it was a shame. He was playing really well, but it was last minute, and I don't know exactly what happened. It looks innocuous. His ankle's gone, and in defence they're good. But with Micklover, very experienced. The two fullbacks there, you've got Paul Bignett and Matt Hill, that got a combined age of 71 years. You know, it's ludicrous. Hyde's wingers had a combined age of 47 years. So they've got an entire player between them. In fact, Matt Hill's son plays for Fleetwood. That's how old he is. But he's got the experience. He's played, I'm not sure he's played in the Premier League, but he's certainly played a lot of Championship football, 550 appearances in the Football League. He really knows what he's doing, and he still looks the part. He's lost a yard of pace, as has Paul Bignett on the other side of the pitch, but up top.
Do you fear for him a little bit?
It don't get any easier for him this month. They've got Warrington away, they've got Morpeth away, FC United at home, and Buxton at home, which that'll be another interesting game.
Depends where Buxton are at.
Yeah,
at
absolutely.
Point,
but they got, you know, good result last night against Bayesford.
Yeah, it could be a
start. Negatives.
Yeah.
And then there was Ratcliffe. Now, to be fair, James, I wasn't too far off joking. I wasn't too far off telling the truth. You've only played three games thus far this season, so it is hashtag early days, as you know.
It's hashtag small sample size as well.
It is a small, hashtag super small sample size. What do you make of the first three games? I mean,
do you
even know the players' names yet?
I know a few of them, don't worry. But yeah, first three games, South Shields 1-0 defeat, 51st minute against Robert Briggs, great goal there. 1-1 against FC United, again, I thought the game could have gone either way in my eyes, but Bayesford on Saturday, another 1-0 defeat. Big problem for Ratcliffe is we're not scoring.
You're not playing.
No, but if you include,
I've worked it out. Oh, it's because you don't play any games. That's.
I mean, as soon as I say that as well, we're not scoring. Ben Morton just scored a penalty in the FA Cup, 34th minute there. But yeah, we're not scoring goals at this moment in time.
You're missing Ratcliffe for the show.
NPL show live, that was. Live. Wow.
Yeah.
We're honoured. Right, hashtag it is early days. Right, let's draw a line under part two. When we come back, we'll be talking about the first qualifying round of the FA Cup with a speculative fixture preview coming your way in part three. Let's talk now about the FA Cup then. As we record this on Wednesday night, big news. James Hayes misses a Ratcliffe game.
I'm doing it for the love of the show.
Was the first game that bad? It's Runcorn Town against Ratcliffe.
Ratcliffe are still 1-0 up.
1-0 up at the moment. We're into the second half, aren't we? So
yeah. No, still in the first half.
Still in the first half?
Yeah, it's only just half eight.
Probably just gone half time then.
Good point. Right, okay, so all still to play for in that one there. And I have obviously not got what it takes to replace Jeff Stelling. Moving on. Right, so first qualifying round, though, on Saturday, and we might as well just go through these games as quickly as we can. And if one is a restaurant somewhere in the Midlands, then so be it. Right, okay. So let's talk about first.
That was my favourite moment ever on the show.
Oh, it's a restaurant.
Still mine.
1874 Northwich against Pickering Town.
Pickering are 0-5 in the Northwest.
Sorry, is this the NFL show? What was that? 0-5.
Their defence is real weak this year.
1874 have already beaten Clitheroe, who are just doing it as well a little bit. Well, no, sorry, Clitheroe aren't doing too bad in the league at this moment in time. So.
Do we think 1874 are eventually going to be part of the NPL family at some point? Especially with the way the promotion is.
Their aspirations, of course, is that there's a window of opportunity for clubs like them this season with three promotion places, all of them automatic in the North West Counties League top flight. So, yeah, and they've had a great start as well, including that FA Cup win against Clitheroe. And because of that, they kind of contorted themselves. I was talking to the management team there at the weekend. They kind of contorted themselves into favourites to win this game, which is a bit unfair, really, as a lower-ranked side. But Pickering, as you say, in rotten form, it wouldn't shock me in the slightest if Northwich went through.
Right. Well, there we go. Best of luck, though, to Pickering Town, because 1874 Northwich, despite Simmel's losses, are not in the NPL, and we don't want them to win. Banbury United against Gainsborough Trinity. Southern League, Banbury United still?
Yes. Top of the Central, the Step 3 Central Division as well at this moment in time.
Wow.
Very tough game for Gainsborough.
Gainsborough will be very cross if they lose at Banbury. You see what I did there?
No.
Banbury Cross. So
what's a Banbury Cross?
Oh, am I thinking of a horse? Ride a cock horse to Banbury Cross. Hey, thank you very much.
There we go. Right, all that's staying in. Good.
It's got a Wikipedia page and everything.
Little insight there into the decisions made by the editor of this show. Belper Town against Alverchurch. Alverchurch family of this parish, of course.
Again, mid-table at the moment in the Step 3 Southern Central.
Grant Black's been on FA Cup runs before.
Yeah, and well, Belper aren't playing too bad at the moment. I think they had a good strong win midweek. So
Chasetown against Staveley Miners Welfare.
Now, I was in Staveley the other day.
Were you?
I was. I went through it on the bus. Actually went past the Miners Welfare building, and it's a lovely old construction. And yeah, on that.
How's this going to help them against Chasetown?
Well, I've not figured that out yet, but on that evidence, I'm going to say Staveley win. I do apologise to Chasetown. I know they're one of ours, but I've got a soft spot
for me.
I can't remember who they beat in the last round, but they have taken NPL blood this year. Chasetown mid-table in the southeast at the moment, hit a mid-season, so it could be a close one there.
They lost to Hyde in the FA Cup back in 2011 as well.
Should say we are going to be catching up with some of the teams involved from Step 4 on this week's Step 4 show, because that returns this week. We will be hearing from Belper Town. We'll also hear from a couple of other clubs who I'll decide as we read through this list. That's research, folks. FC United against Atherton Coles.
This will be an absolute humdinger, this one. I want to go. In fact, I might just go to this game, actually.
You're not going to the North East?
Might be cold. Yeah. I'd need my coat, wouldn't I?
You know Swampy's not here, so he can't take you.
Oh, no, that's fine. I can get the bus. Atherton Coles, this is the kind of game that Atherton Coles want to play, and they'll be so revved up for it. And as you mentioned earlier on, Tiga,
Coles need this will be a good test for the league as well at the same time, if you think of it. We were saying before, FC United and Coles need that little bit of oomph in them a little bit. This could be a good decider for the league campaign, really.
I think it's going to be an absolutely brilliant match. If that doesn't end
goals everywhere,
or something like that, I'd be amazed.
Live on the FC radio as well?
Yes.
Oh, thanks.
That was nice.
Yeah, it was lovely. Gossip North End against Pontefract Coles in the All-NPL affair.
I'd want to call because Glossop aren't doing too bad considering.
Bandy's done a good job actually at the start of the season here.
Is it back to normal now? Is it back to where it was, or is it still a work in
still
progress?
Still very experimental. I'm not saying an experimental team, but a lot of new faces there at Glossop.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Bandy and Lloyd, they've specialised in rebuilding teams over the years. When they were at Mosley a few seasons ago, they started with one team. It got completely and utterly stripped away because they had practically no budget. And by Christmas, they had a second team. By Easter, they had a third team. So the youth are constantly rebuilding.
Main thing as well, that Cade Coffin's staying on the bench, and he's normally one of Bandy's staple players as well. So it says a lot about Glossop this year. Tough one to say, because Pontefract's a really good aggressive side, but They've not been on fire in the North West Division at this moment.
Yeah.
Kidsgrove against Cleethorpes.
Cleethorpes fourth at the moment and they're going well. I think they've only one defeat, two draws in that situation. Kidsgrove, Melbourne's not exactly been on fire at this moment in time, but Kidsgrove are going to find it really hard at the moment, but like an FA Cup, never know. Mm.
Simo, back to you. Lancaster City against Northwich Victoria.
I think this
welcome
is one
back
the,
Northwich Vicks.
I think it's one of the ties that are around this, and it's kind of got subplots galore as well, because Northwich have kind of now got a little cohort of former Lancaster players in their side. So they've got they have got genuine inside knowledge on what Lancaster are going to throw at them at the weekend.
It's a giant axe, though, isn't it?
He's sat a giant out, and that doesn't help Vicks. Vicks did knock out a Northern Premier League team last round, by the way, Prescott Cables, and I was there, which is a great scalp for them to take as well. You'd make Lancaster favourites, and as we've discussed earlier on tonight, they've had an half-decent start to the season as well, but they need to just be wary.
Loughborough Dynamo against Heather St. John's. Lovely. Have you been to Heather St. John's?
Yeah, it's a lovely little village near Colville, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, Colville,
so,
it says here.
So when Simo was being really informative about where Northwich Vicks are currently and all that, you were on Google Maps to see where Heather St. John's was.
Yeah,
right, okay, good.
Your only mistake there is I didn't talk for long enough to bail him out.
I'd genuinely never heard of him before. However, they beat Worcester City in the last round.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You won't get this on FA Cup Fat Fail.
No.
Probably have been asking their fluff, but they've had a bit of a rollercoaster start to the season and a team that are quite strong this year. They've lost Carl DeMaia to Sir Sheffield. But again, you'd expect Loughborough to do well, but potential Banarsk in there for him.
Then we've got Maltby Main, who... we mention them every year, don't we? They're always in the FA Cup draw, aren't they? Against Ramsbottom United.
Ramsbottom, very, very strong side this year. They've already got the form from the FA Trophy run last year, too.
I've got some breaking news about Heather St. John.
Yes.
This is the first time they've ever been beyond the preliminary round.
Wow.
First entered the cup in 2008-09, where they lost to Cradley Town 3-0 at home. However, this year they've beaten Wolverhampton Sporting Community 2-0 in the first round at home, and again, on their own patch, they beat Worcester City.
Matlock Town against Basford United. Ooh. Isn't it nice to say the word Basford United without Swampy going, Bashford, Bashford? Isn't it nice? yeah. Matlock Town. Against Basford United. I mean,
and this is up there as well, isn't it? It's one of the certainly ties around involved.
Steve Kitchick must be thinking to himself, right? Because, like we said last season, there is an air of the start Scarborough had to this, and Steve must be aware of that fact.
Oh yeah.
To be in this kind of form now, Matlock must be thinking to themselves, we could have an FA Cup run here.
They should be thinking that.
Yeah, and Basford not had the best of runs in the Cup of late. They lost against Staveley, funnily enough, in the first qualifying round last season, so they'll be wanting to put that right, and the only problem is they're up against Matlock, who are banging form, very, very difficult to beat, well, unbeaten,
yes,
as we talk.
Yeah, that's how hard to beat, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, and they're just a very, very solid unit, two very solid units going up against each other, really.
Morpeth against Sands United. Ooh. Birkie. Firstly,
yeah.
What time did you set off?
About half one, so I'm probably going FC. I really do think that the way Morpeth played suit Hyde. However,
it's at home.
It doesn't matter. We've beaten FC United away.
We've beaten South Shields
away. It holds no fear travelling, unless we're playing against Witten, obviously. But yeah, it's going to be a tough game. Morpeth will take the game to Hyde, but Hyde can soak it up. Going to be a good match. I'm going to say Hyde after a replay.
Given
or on the day, I don't know.
Given the bit of a downturn that's just happened with Nantwich Town against Grantham Town.
There's a lot of old Premier Division games, isn't there, that's come on this list already. I wonder if managers look at it and they kind of groan that, oh, we've played someone at this stage, our first game, certainly for the Premier League team coming at this stage, our first games against a team in our division. They must be a little bit dispiriting, and you know, Grantham at home is one of the toughest draws Nantwich could have got for the teams coming in at this level, but I think it's too close to call that.
Okay, okay. What about Romulus v Buxton? Oh, where's Sully when you need him and his Romulus and Remus jokes? Anyway.
Well, I know. Yeah. Well,
raised by Wolves, I believe, Berker.
well,
Romulus against Buxton. This is a banana skin, isn't it?
It's a huge game now.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And Romulus, they won the last tie 6-0 against Market Drayton. So, you know, they know where the back of the net is. They won the game previous to that against Wolverhampton Casuals. So
Market Drayton haven't exactly been the normal Market Drayton. We know they've actually got a good deep team this year there as well.
So well, they had them a couple of seasons.
No, I mean Market Drayton, I mean, that's what I mean. Market Drayton, not, they've kept like the strength from the West Division last year, and they've shown that in the South East. So rather than being perennial down the bottom end, they are showing the teams what they can capable
of. Buxton have to win this game.
Absolutely they do. 100% they do. The pressure is on.
Okie dokie. Speaking of the Midlands, Rushall Olympic, welcome back, Rushall. Where have you been? They're taking on Sheffield.
Very tough ask. Again, Rushall going well in the Central League again. Missed out on the playoff finals last year as well. Really, really tough ask for him there. Rushall are a lot stronger than they were when they were with us.
Okie dokie. Scarborough Athletic against Marsh United. We'll be here for Marsh, obviously, on the Step 4 show. Ooh, that is going to be a twitchy afternoon for Ant Taylor, isn't it? That's going to be a bit nervous.
It's a good job not commentating, apparently. But Marsh United third at the moment in the North West too, and I think they're scoring. Curtis Pond's on fire at the moment, scoring wise.
They played each other last season. I think, if memory serves, I think they played each other last season in the North Yorks Cup, and Scarborough won that one. It might even have been the final, actually. But Marsh, they're an improving team. And Scarborough, I don't think they'll relish the game. Mask certainly will. They'll be well looking forward to this one. And it should be a Scarborough win. Of course it should be a Scarborough win. But they went round the coast the other day, didn't do so well against Whitby. And
they'll be hurting, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll be very interesting if Mask take the lead to see what happens in that game.
Now, Obviously, the person I'm about to go to is a consummate professional who does a lot of research, and in fact, most of it is ingrained knowledge. Witton Albion travelling
again
to Serbia to take on CM Red Star.
I think Witton need to get their mail redirected to the North East. They spent more time up there than they have in Norwich.
What do you know about CM Red Star?
Very little, apart from Witton. I've had them.
Am I pronouncing it right? First,
CM Red Star's right, and Witton have had them watched twice, which shows how seriously they're taking the FA Cup this season. They had a great run in the FA Cup last year, which brought a lot of money into the club. And the reason that's relevant this time is if they do want to bring in a replacement for Rob Hopley, who's out for the rest of the season, then one way of being able to do that is winning two or three FA Cup matches. So that's why they're taking it so seriously. I mean, they prepare really well for every game. But also, they've had to do this homework because they knew absolutely nothing about seeing when the draw was made. So it wouldn't shock me if they brought them back down here and then knocked them out in a replay.
Speaking of the North East, South Shields against Colne, what do we think?
That'll be a good game. Colne, very, very aggressive this time. Stefan Gonzalez finding his feet again in the Step 4 leagues. I reckon South's one of them teams that could really rock South Shields a little bit.
They'll go for it.
Yeah, that's when we know, go for it. And
I say
going forward, I mean, obviously they've lost the likes of
Alex Cunningham, who's gone to Stockport County.
But again, that's going to be a really close time. I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up going to a replay, just of how Colne play.
I would be. I think Colne will give it a right good goal, mind you.
Let's talk about Stafford Rangers against Michalovce Sports.
I think
is this the same as the Buxton chat we were having? That it's like a really important game, this one, for Stafford Rangers.
Stafford nicked a couple of players off Michalovce as well over the summer, Lewis King and Evan Garnett. So there's an X factor in there as well. Michalovce will definitely fancy it. I mean, Stafford are there for the taking.
Well, that's true.
We'll also be hearing from Marine on this week's Step 4 show. Marine taking on Stalybridge Celtic.
Another interesting, because Marine,
That fixture last year in the league, by the way, was a belter. There was some great goals. There's some great goals in it.
Been some very good games, actually, between the two.
Yeah.
Marine going well in the North East. Second at the moment, so obviously finding, well, we're saying relegation might suit them a little bit. It has done, it's kicked them off a little bit. And Jason Worthington in that league at the moment, who don't have a game this weekend.
I say, I'm always a bit of a cliche that sometimes you have to take a step back to take a couple of steps forward, but yeah, it could be the best thing to happen to Marine.
Sutton Coldfield against Redditch United.
No points out of five games so far, along with Frickley. Again, Frickley don't play the summit, so Frickley is their second bottom.
Tadcaster Albion against Ashton United. That is a huge banana skin, that, for Jody Bannum's side.
We're in Bustamante territory for them, aren't we?
I think we are, actually, yeah. It'll be such a disappointment for Ashton if they don't win this one. Considering they performed well last season in the National League North. I know they got relegated, but they were always expected to be right down at the bottom. They weren't embarrassed by their season in there at all. And this season, all right, it's not started how they wanted to, but you get the feeling they're only one or two clicks away from really going, not necessarily going on a run, but putting things right again and steadying the ship. It's got to start Saturday, though.
Thornaby
on tees.
Is that right? Is it North East?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
What do you think?
Ossett to win, they should do. They've got the talent there. They've got the ability, but they've had a very good run of Thornaby. They beat Bishop Auckland in the first quarter. Sorry, the extra preliminary round, who they lost to the season before, funnily enough. But then they beat Wickham 2-1 away, and Wickham, who've got Carl Finnegan on board, of course, and a couple of other big name players who.
Thornaby coming rock bottom of the Northern League First Division. They've not won in the league so far this year.
That's because they've been in the FA Cup all the time.
You should know about this. I bet they've only played about two games all year in the league. Let's talk about Trafford against Bamber Bridge. Boom.
Yeah, well, as T got us pointed out on the last show, Trafford won the Integral last season. That means they're due to win the FA Cup this year.
No, I mean, so, get promoted.
Oh, right, I do.
That's the past.
Trafford have only just won the first game of the season, but they won it in style 7-2 at Kendal on Tuesday night. But they've not really had the best of starts league-wise. So,
but Bamber Bridge away from home.
It's doable. It's doable. I wouldn't like to pick a winner, but I'm going to. And I'm going to say it's going to be a draw.
Very similar pitches, though, because, again, Trafford's pitch is immaculate, whatever you go there.
Warrington Town against City of Liverpool. And we will be hearing from City of Liverpool. I've missed them.
Well, there's a.
I always enjoy my interviews with Paul.
A lovely FA Cup thread running through this game in that Craig Robinson, the City Liverpool manager, scored one of the most famous yellows goals in FA Cup history when he put Exeter out a few years back on the telly box. So I think that's a nice angle for this. Warrington should be too good, they should be too strong, but I think it'd be a good tie.
Well, there's only three more fixtures to talk about, and this one should be off to a flyer. Whitchurch Airport against Leek Town. Sorry. Whitchurch Alport. I do apologise, everyone. It's just your standard Alport. Alport. Where is Whitchurch Alport?
Whitchurch is in Shropshire.
It is.
And it's a nice town. Nice pub called the Wheat Sheaf.
And what's an Alport?
It means forest. Wood in Old English.
There we go.
I don't know how I knew that.
QI.
I don't know how I knew that. Bloody hell. It's the first time Whitchurch have ever been to this stage of the FA Cup. It's only the fourth season they've been in it.
That's a decent tie, that.
Widnes against Whitby Town.
Can I get a Widnes? Well, Mosley went down nine men last night against them. Well, Widnes, it was a game of two halves, weren't it, the first match? Mosley all over him in the first game, second half. Oh, Widnes came back, got the equaliser. Took it to a replay, and last night, well, there we are, got the game on Saturday now. And I believe Widnes are in with a very good shout.
And finally, when it comes to fixtures this weekend, assuming Radcliffe make it through, because we're not covered their match.
Winners get Newcastle, Benfield, who are the strongest side.
Not them again, blimey.
strongest side left in the Northern League at the moment. So
they beat Ashton last year, did they? They played Ashton United, didn't they?
Yeah, they beat Hyde United about 15 years ago, too.
Wishbeach Town against Hitchin Town.
But both are struggling. Probably a 0-0.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks to you, God.
That is the end. Best of luck to Wishbeach. Now, on that note, that is the end of this week's MPL show. A big thank you to Berkey for joining us for this monthly edition, covering what has been a delightful start to the season of Northern Premier League football. Berkey, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
A big thank you to Mr. Andrew Simpson for coming along.
Yep.
And a big thank you as well to Mr. James Hayes.
No worries.
And a big thank you to the Heating Hoppers as well for hosting us. And a big good luck to everyone in the FA Cup. And wherever you're going this weekend, make sure you have fun. Bye-bye.
This is a set for sure.